I remember the conversation very well. I don't remember exactly how old I was, probably 13 or 14 years old. I was standing out in the parking lot of our old church building over on 36th Street. It was after services, and there's a group of teens just standing around, teen guys standing around and talking. And there was one of the older teen guys who was there, and he was talking about how there was different individuals over the course of the last few days and weeks of his life that had been challenging him on some Bible topics. And I remember how he talked about how these individuals had challenged him on these Bible topics, and yet he was able to turn around and to give them an answer. And he talked to me about what he said to these people who had challenged him, and how he had recalled verses that he knew and shared those verses with these people and tried to explain these biblical texts with these individuals to help them to know the truth of God's Word. And I specifically remember that at that moment, I had the thought, I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to remember verses when people challenge me. I want to be able to take those verses and share them, not in an attack mode, not in that kind of it, but to be able to take verses that are in the Bible and to share them with others and to be able to reason through those scriptures with them. And as a young teenager, I thought, that's what I want to be able to do. How can I do that? And as I thought about this lesson tonight, if there's anything that I would want for our young people today, there's a lot of things that I'd like for our teenagers today. If there's anything that I would want for our teenagers today, it would be for you to have the ability to defend your faith. For you to have the ability when someone comes on the attack, or maybe they're not on the attack, maybe they're on the question. Maybe they're asking you a question about what the Bible says, or asking you a question about why do you believe what you believe. If there's anything that I could wish for you today, it would be for you to be able to know what the Bible says and to be able to give a Bible answer for those people who ask you and to be able to defend the faith of God's Word. Tonight I have our young people particularly in mind as I have prepared and as I want to go through this lesson tonight. But this lesson has application to everybody, and I think you'll recognize that. But I want us to take the text from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And I want each of us tonight to be even more determined that we want to be ready always to give an answer. That we want to prepare ourselves. That we want to be the one that when somebody is on the attack, that we can provide them with book, chapter, and verse. When someone comes and asks us, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, asks us a reason for the hope that is within us, that we will be able to give them a Bible answer to their Bible question. And so tonight I want us to use 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 as our launching point as we consider some ways, some things that we need to do as Christians to be able to always be ready to give an answer. And as we consider this tonight, the first thing I want us to see is the first thing you've got to do is just be ready. You've got to be ready for that time when people come asking the question. You've got to be ready for that time when in school maybe there's people who are attacking your faith. How can you be ready? How do you get ready for a test? How do you get ready for a baseball game? How do you get ready for a soccer match? Well, you practice. How do you get ready for a test? You study. You prepare yourself to know that you are ready when that occasion comes. And that's the same way we get ourselves to be ready to give an answer. I want to challenge each of us to get into God's Word and to study God's Word and to prepare ourselves to be teachers of God's Word. You never know when you might be able to be a teacher. I'm not talking about somebody standing up in front of a class. I'm talking about a one-on-one conversation. In Hebrews chapter 5, the inspired writer was writing to Christians and telling these Christians, you are weak. telling these Christians, you are not where you should be as a Christian. He says, by this time in your Christian life, you ought to be teaching other people, but instead, you need somebody else to come along and teach you the ABCs of being a Christian. Now, I know some of you are in school, and maybe you're in school and you just learned the ABCs. Maybe some of you are learning to write the ABCs. Well, this sermon's not really directed at you so much tonight. This sermon's directed at you who already know your ABCs. You've been writing them for a long time. Some of you have been writing them for decades. And the ABCs that you learned 70 years ago, guess what? Are still the ABCs. But imagine being 70 years of age, 40 years of age, 30 years of age, 18 years of age, and you need somebody to come along and teach you your ABCs again. What would that tell you? You're not growing. You're not learning at a rate that you should be. What about us as Christians? Where are we? Are we ready for somebody to come and ask us a Bible question? We've got to get ourselves ready. We've got to prepare ourselves by getting into God's Word, and we're going to talk more about that in just a minute. But along with preparedness, along with studying, has got to be a determination. You can know the information, but in order to be ready, you've got to have a determination that says, I want to be ready, and I want to be there to be able to give an answer when somebody comes and asks me a question. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul was in prison in Rome. And he says in verses 16 and 17, some translations say, New King James says, I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. I like the Old King James where it says, I am set for the defense of the gospel. Paul, what are you saying? I have been put here, I have been set here, and I am going to defend the gospel no matter what. Paul, you're in prison. You got thrown in prison because you've been preaching the gospel. Now what are you going to do? I'm going to keep defending the gospel. He was determined, no matter what, that he was not going to be ashamed. He was determined knowing that God's salvation was found in the gospel. And he knew that he needed to be ready, even in prison, to tell somebody the truth. Some of you on Monday through Friday, you think you're in prison. I know. Some of you think you're in prison from 7 a.m. or whatever time you go to school, or maybe it's from some of you at work. Maybe you think you're in prison at work. And some of you actually feel like you're in prison in school because you go inside and then they close those bars, those gates that have the bars and all those locks so nobody can get in. I always found it fascinating in my high school that there was obviously a chain link fence around the school. I found it interesting that the barbed wire pointed in instead of pointing out. That was just always fascinating to me. I'm like, wait a minute, shouldn't we be trying to keep people out and the barbed wire should be pointed out? But instead it's pointed in. And that just said to me, we're keeping you in here. You're not going anywhere. I know that we might think we're in prison today when we go to school or go to work or wherever it may be, but wherever we are, we need to be ready. We need to prepare ourselves. And when that time comes, we not only need to be ready, we need to be reasoned. We need to be reasoned in our response. What does that mean? What does that mean that we need to be reasoned? Well, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 that we need to be always ready to give an answer. Always ready to give a defense. The Greek word there is the Greek word apologia, from which we get the word apology. And of course, we have in mind that, well, you're supposed to be saying you're sorry if you're apologizing. That's not the way that word is being used there. It's being used of someone who has a reasoned defense to teach someone something that they know. You know that organization in Montgomery, Alabama, that we are closely associated with and we love and support, and we use their materials. And in fact, some of you purchased their study Bibles called Apologetics Press. Why are they called Apologetics Press? Because apologetics comes from that Greek word apologia, which means a defense. And so if you look at the tagline for Apologetics Press, it is set for the defense of New Testament Christianity. What about me as a Christian? Am I set to give a reasoned defense for New Testament Christianity? If I'm going to do that, I need to give a reasoned answer. To give a reasoned answer, I need to gather all of the truth that I can. Not just part of the truth. You have some friends that come to you and they try to tell you something that the Bible says, but they only have a part of what the Bible says. And if you're only taking a part of what the Bible says, but you're ignoring the rest of what the Bible says, you don't have the entirety of what the Bible says, and so you could misrepresent what the Bible says. Has somebody ever misrepresented something you said? Because they took a piece of what you said out of the rest of what you said, and all of a sudden it made you look like something that you never said. Anybody ever done that to you? How many people do that with God? They take a part of what God says, but they take it out of the rest of what God says, and so they make it look like God said something He never said. So Psalm 119 and verse 160 says, the entirety, the sum, the S-U-M of God's Word is truth. So we don't need to neglect some part of it, and we don't need to be afraid of some part of the Bible. We need to be willing to gather all that the Bible says and the fullness of God's truth when it comes to what Scripture teaches. And then we need to make sure that we know what it says in its context and not try to take something out of its context. It's interesting that Peter wrote about Paul. And he wrote about Paul's writings. Do you know this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16? Where he referred to Paul's letters. Paul's letters were already circulating when Peter wrote. And he referred to Paul's letters. And he says, there are some who are taking Paul's letters and they are twisting them to their own destruction. What are they doing? They're taking part of what Paul says, but they're taking it and making it teach something that it doesn't say. You can do that by taking something out of its context. We need to gather what the Bible says. We need to know what the Bible says and not misuse what the Bible says. And then we need to try to think through. Somebody asks us an answer, or somebody asks us a question. We need to be able to give them a reasoned response, but sometimes it's good for you to think through your response. You ever notice that sometimes when you don't think through something, that maybe there could have been a better way to approach it? And this doesn't mean you think through your response for 4 years before you give an answer. But the Bible says that we have a responsibility to be diligent, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, somebody who's not ashamed, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, because he is handling aright the word of truth. He takes God's word and then he handles it properly. He handles it in the right way. And sometimes that means I need to think on this. So there's 6 verses from Psalm 119 on the screen, and each of them talk about meditating on God's word. And I know we have a funny idea of what meditation might be today, but how often when somebody asks you a question, do you think through your response long enough to make sure that this is a reasoned response? To make sure that it matches the question that's being asked. That it truly represents what God's Word says without adding to, without taking away from, without going to the right hand, without going to the left, but truly following what Scripture says. Think through it. But then finally, when you get ready to respond in this reasoned response, to do so in a systematic way. To do so in a way that makes sense. Sometimes somebody can ask a question and we give them an answer that may not make sense to them. There's a verse in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 10. And the terminology there is that in this particular context of responding, that there would be a response that would be precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Meaning there was an orderly way in which a response would be given in that particular context. And I would suggest that's the way we need to respond when somebody asks us a question. That we need to have formulated a response that is systematic and organized so that when we give it to them, they can understand it. And I'm going to talk more about that in just a minute. But in Nehemiah chapter 8, there were some religious people, there were some of God's people, who were hearing the law of God, some of them for the first time. They had come back to the promised land after being in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, Ezra the prophet comes, and Ezra stands up, and the Bible says that he read from the book of the law. And as he was reading from the book of the law, Nehemiah chapter 8 says, there were some others who were going around among the people, and they were helping with Ezra to read. And Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8 says they were reading distinctly. That's interesting. They were reading the book of the law, and they were reading it distinctly. They were taking this word, and they were not just running through it, but they were reading it distinctly, emphasizing the words. And then the next statement says, and then they were making sense of it. Not that it didn't make sense itself, but they were taking what it said and applying it to those people who were hearing the book of the law. They were giving the sense of it for these people who perhaps had never heard it before. And then the third thing it says in Nehemiah 8 and verse 8 is that they were helping them to understand it. That's what we need to do. That's a pattern for us. To give them the Bible and to read it to them distinctly. To give them the sense, because sometimes people have never heard the Bible before. Here, give them the sense of what that is saying and then help them to understand it. Not our understanding, not what we think it says, but here's what the Scripture is saying. To give them a systematic, to give them a sensible response. We need to be ready. When the time comes and we give a response, it needs to be reasoned. But it not only needs to be reasoned, it needs to be reasonable. When somebody asks us a question, or maybe somebody has attacked us, maybe somebody has attacked us for what we believe, and we want to respond to that, we need to make sure that when we do that, we have the right attitude. It can be really easy not to have the right attitude. When you've been attacked for your faith, sometimes it's easy not to have the right attitude. But God tells us in this text of 1 Peter chapter 3, He tells us that the attitude is significant. Before we look at that verse, look in Philippians 4 and verse 5, God says, the old King James says, let your moderation be known to all men. I always wondered what that meant. Let your moderation be known unto all men. New King James says, let your gentleness be made known unto all men. New American Standard says, let your reasonableness be made known unto all men. Do people look at you and think you're a reasonable person? Do they think you have a gentle spirit? When you're talking about the Bible, do you come across as a jackhammer with the Bible? Or do you come across with somebody who has a reasonableness about them? Does that matter when you're presenting the Bible? Does your attitude, when you're responding to a question that's been asked, does your attitude matter? In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 15, it says, we are to speak the truth in love. Now, the word love, there's that Greek word agape, which means I want what is best for the person that I'm dealing with. I need to speak the truth in a way that is the best for the person that I am talking to. And then this text that we're looking at tonight in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, I need to make sure I maintain a heart of meekness. I know what it says. I've got the ability to present what it says, but I need to make sure that I am under control when I respond. Sometimes that can be hard. There's one individual who calls the church office about two or three times a year. I think I've told this story before now that I've started this story. He calls the church office probably about two times a year, sometimes three times a year. And he'll get on the phone, and he asks for a preacher, and he'll get on the phone, and here's the question. He says, do you have time for a Bible question? Well, of course. You call the church office. That's what we're here for. We don't do anything else but sit around. No, I'm just kidding. But, of course, when somebody calls and says, do you have time for a Bible question? Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's what we want more than anything is to talk about the Bible. And so he'll ask his Bible question. And when you start in on the answer, he won't listen. And as soon as you start to answer, he's got to be the one talking. And he won't listen to anything that the Bible says, and he keeps attacking and attacking, and he takes that conversation and he starts to elevate and escalate that conversation. He gets it to where here in the office, my blood pressure is being raised a bit, trying to talk to this person about this Bible question on the phone. Guess what God says? Be ready always to give an answer to him who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness. Keep yourself under control. Keep your attitude under control. Got to have the right attitude. You got to have the right motivation. When you're trying to tell somebody else the truth, what's your motivation? Our motivation cannot be, well, I'm right and you're wrong. Our motivation cannot be, well, I'm going to prove how wrong you are. That's not the motivation that God wants us to have. The motivation that God wants us to have in this text in 1 Peter chapter 3, notice he says, with meekness and fear. With meekness and respect. Respect for what? Fear of what? Well, fear of God to begin with. Fear and respect for God's Word to begin with. But what about respect for that person that you're talking to? That your motivation is one of respect for them. Remember Ephesians 4 and verse 15? That you're speaking the truth in love. And what does agape love mean? You want what is best for that person. When somebody asks you a question about the Bible, what is best for that person? For you to give them a Bible answer. That's what they need. And so our motivation is one of fear of God, respect of God and His Word, and respect for that person. But at the same time, our motivation needs to be one for love for their soul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 is one of those passages that says we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The very next verse says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We look at individuals, we see their lost condition, and we want what is best for them. We want them to have the opportunity to come into contact with the gospel of Christ. We want them to have the opportunity to allow that gospel, not us, to allow the gospel of Christ to prick their heart. And not me and my words, but God and His Word to change their life. That's what we ought to want. And as we're checking our heart and checking our attitude, as we're checking our motivation, we need to make sure that our motivation is one of hoping. Not that we can prove that person to be wrong, but hoping that that person might be saved. Colossians 1 and verse 28, Paul says, Jesus we preach. What do? When we preach Him? We warn everybody. We teach everybody that we might present everybody perfect in Christ Jesus. What do we want more than anything? What are we hoping? That when somebody comes to us, or even when somebody attacks us, our response might be such that it might save their soul. We need to be ready. When we give a response, we need to be reasoned. We need to be reasonable. And this point could have had a lot of different titles to it, but I just said we need to be real. Do you sometimes hope that people aren't going to ask you a question? Do you sometimes hope that, I hope that I'm not the one that they come asking a reason for the hope that's in me? Maybe they'll ask some other question. Maybe they'll ask some other Christian. Do you ever hope that maybe you can get lost over in the corner of the world and people won't recognize you're somebody that they can ask a Bible question to? Folks, we need to be real. And really, it should be just the opposite. I know we can't force people to ask us a question, but we need to do what we can to get busy answering questions, maybe even questions that haven't been asked yet. And these first three points are really all the same, to basically say, don't sit over in a corner, don't sit on your hands and just wait for somebody to, maybe I'll just go ask that person a question. Get active. Get out among the people. Start conversations with individuals so that then they might ask. Sometimes we think 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 is just reactive. Sometimes we think it's, I'm just sitting and waiting and boy, lo and behold, somebody asked me a question. Okay, yeah, that situation, lo and behold, somebody asked me a question. But that's not it. 1 Peter 3, these people are being attacked. They're being persecuted because they are Christians. And God says, when they do that and they say, why in the world would you ever live this way as a Christian? It's an open door for you to walk through. As Christians, we ought to be looking, we ought to be creating doors for people to push on. We ought to be creating opportunities for people to say, hey, wait a minute. You know what? You're right. And to ask, we shouldn't fear somebody asking us a question. You know why? We've got every answer. God's given us the answer key. Did you ever want an answer key when you were in school? Be careful how you answer that. Did you ever want to see the answer key when you were in school? It's like, I'm going to have the test. Here's all these questions that are going to be on the test, and the teacher has the answers. You've got the answers. Every single one of them are in this book. It has all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And so it ought to be our goal to try to make sure that others know that when they see us, we're somebody they can ask a Bible question of. Not in some haughty way. I don't mean it that way. But so that they recognize us to be a child of God. It should not surprise them. Oh, that person actually knows the Bible. That ought to be a part of our regular conversation. Young people, listen to me. Can I challenge you? Please don't ever be ashamed of what you believe. Don't ever be ashamed of what you know to be true. I was reading through some verses in the book of John this past week, and it's interesting how often in the book of John, God takes the word believe and the word know and puts them right there in the same text. Biblical faith is not a blind faith. It's not a leap in the dark that says, well, I'll just go down this path. It seems like it's the better of all the. No. There is truth. And Jesus says, you shall know it. Not just hope it, not just wish it. You're going to know the truth. And it's that truth that's going to set you free. Don't ever be ashamed that you know the truth and that you stand up for the truth. And don't ever be ashamed that you might know the answer to somebody's question. And that you have the opportunity to share it with them in a way that can make a difference in their life. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Last thing I want to talk about tonight, as we think about always being ready to give a defense. We've got to be ready. We've got to be reasoned in our responses. We've got to be reasonable as we give those reasoned responses. We need to be real. And people need to see us as real Christians even before they ask us a question. But in order to be ready for this, in order to be prepared for this, we need to be resourceful. And being resourceful means we need to have good resources to help us. And those good resources come in a variety of pieces and in a variety of things. And I want to share with you just a few resources tonight that can help you in making sure that as you study God's Word, not to indoctrinate you, and that's not what I mean by help, but to help. Remember what Nehemiah chapter 8 said, is there were those who were making the sense and they were helping to understand. And sometimes it would help us to have some good resources we can use. Why does the church have a website? Why does the church have a website? Is it so that we can say, hey, we got a website. We're like everybody else in the world. We got a website. Do we have a website only for the calendar that's there? Do we have a website? Why is the website there? I believe our website is one of the best church websites anywhere in the world. In fact, I'd be so bold to say it's the best church website in the whole world. Why? Because it looks the best. I'm not talking about looks. I'm talking about content. Do you know how many sermons are on our website? I'm not talking about sermons that Dan's preached, sermons that Dave's preached. You know how many lectureships are on our website? You know how many gospel meetings are on our website? You know how many resources are there right on our website? You know how many articles, bulletin articles are on our website? One of the greatest tools on our website is in the top left of the homepage, and it's called Search. And you go there, and you plug in a couple words, and you click, I want to see this in articles, and it'll load up some articles for you. They're going to have some of those words in it. Apologetics Press has an incredible website, full and full and full of materials. You ought to utilize that website. You ought to be getting Apologetics Press weekly updates on what's being added to their website. Christian Courier has an outstanding website. Great materials that are there to help us in studying God's Word. So we can talk about websites. We can talk about the tracts that are in our lobby. You know why we have tracts? Well, one of the primary reasons so that we can pass them out and use them as evangelism tools. But what we used to say on Palm Beach at 36th Street, sometimes we'd have a track day and we'd have people handing out tracts as they would leave. But what we would say as we were handing out tracts to members as they were leaving was, read this yourself and then pass it on to somebody who can use it. Those tracts are out there first and foremost for those who are already here. Great resources for us to use. There are books that are great resources to use. If you are in junior high or senior high, and you don't have a ready reference for growing Christians, see me tonight and you will leave this building with a copy of this book. It's a great little book that has 100 Bible topics and just has hundreds of verses on these Bible topics. A great little resource. This Nichols Pocket and Bible Encyclopedia has been around probably since the 50s. This thing has been, not this particular copy, this is nice and neat. 1949, this is an incredible little tool that is a great resource that if you're looking for some verses on a particular Bible topic, outstanding little resource. So there's all sorts of things, but here's what I want to do tonight. I want to challenge you, young people, old people, I want to challenge you to create something. I want to challenge you to create your own ready-to-answer card. What do I mean by that? Josiah, Tyler, you four guys, you two guys, here, come here. These guys are going to pass out some reference cards to everybody here tonight, one per person. Don't charge them, okay? They're free. Hang on, Josiah. Hang on, Grayson. I need one of each. Sorry. Take those. What did I just do? I didn't take one of those. I got one of those. All right, go pass them out quickly as you can. And who's left? Two more guys. Split these up. Okay. What they are passing out are some nice little, they're bookmark kind of things, easily fit in your Bible. It's a basic Bible. They'll get to you all. Just hold your horses. It's some basic Bible reference cards. And this little blue one by John Hurt's been around for a long time. It just has basic Bible topics on it, and he has verses that go along with those Bible topics. A few years ago, Paul Sayne came out with one that's got 48 subjects on it, front and back, with some Bible verses that go along with it. Apologetics Press has two different cards, and obviously these are going to fit in with what Apologetics Press does in the arena in the arena of Christian evidences. And so they have one on Christian evidences references. They have one on creation science references. We have these out in our track rec on occasion from time to time. But what these guys are passing out are all four of these cards for you to take and to have and to use as a reference card that when somebody asks you a question, you're like, well, I'm not sure where that is. Here are some easy, ready reference cards that you can use and to come up with some quick verses to share with somebody. But here's my challenge for you tonight. I can't remember who the two guys are. What two of the other guys are passing out is a blank card. And on the top of both sides, it says, my ready-to-answer card. And I don't care if you use this card or use something else. I would challenge you to have your own ready-to-answer card. And here's what's involved in that. Here's what's involved in that. What's involved in that is deciding and identifying what format you want to use. It may be this very card. Maybe you are a card person. Maybe you are pen-to-paper kind of person. And maybe it's one of these. Maybe you already have one. Maybe you're somebody, and I've seen a lot of you that have this. Maybe you're somebody that's got this stuff already written down in the back of your Bible. In the back pages or those blank pages in your Bible, you've already got some of this written out. And that's a perfect place to have it. But you need to decide on the format. But what's beautiful today, and young people, listen to me, and guys who are passing out the cards, I know it's hard for males to do more than one thing at a time. And I'm serious about that. It just blows me away that my daughters can do multiple things at once. You know, they can be working on homework and have this video and this going, and they can pay attention to all of it once. And I'm just like, I can't, you know, it's like one thing at a time. This and don't distract me. You know, it's just like one thing at a time. It's just weird. All right, so guys, pay attention while you're passing that out. That's the point of that deal. Decide on a format, but here's the beautiful thing about today. You don't have to have a piece of paper. The best thing that you can have, what did I do with my phone? The best thing you can do with this phone is not text people, it actually works for a phone sometimes, is to keep a note in here. And I would just make it a single note in your phone. that just is your ready-to-answer card, where you have added in here some of these things that are on these cards that are coming around, but are those key verses, are those key places that when you need an answer, and you can't get to a website, you can't get to your books because you're in prison. And in prison, they won't let you take your books in, right? Because you're somewhere, you don't have all these other resources, but you don't go anywhere without your phone. You would go back home and get your phone and be late to prison that day so that you would at least have your phone with you. You're crippled without it. Keep a note in here that always has your answers, your Bible answers to Bible questions. So you need to identify what's the best format for you. Maybe you're not a phone person. Maybe you're a pen to paper person. But find a format where you can keep all of your Bible answers together. And then after you've identified the format, what are your topics? You can't fit every Bible topic on that piece of paper, nor will you really want to fit every Bible topic in one note on your phone because you're going to be scrolling for a long time. Identify the topics you need. It may be the topics that you face the most. You know what those are. It may be the topics that you, well, maybe you haven't faced them much yet, but you expect that in the days to come, you're going to be facing these topics. I need to be ready to have an answer for these. Maybe it's topics that you have trouble remembering the verses. You have trouble remembering where these passages are and what it is. Maybe it's trouble, and so those are your topics. So it's not that you add 473 different topics on your card or on your note. You need to find the topics that work for you. And that's why this John Hurt card, the Paul Saint card, these are great cards, but that may not be the best for you. It may fit them, but you need to find something that fits you. You need to identify the topics and then identify the verses. Remember, we're not trying to give our answer to something. We want to give a Bible answer to a Bible question. Go and find those verses, not jerking them out of context, not making something say something you want it to say that it doesn't really say. But find those verses that are true to the topic that you're writing down, true to that Bible question. And you got to identify these topics. Maybe on your topic list is the essentiality of baptism. What's the Bible say about the essentiality of baptism? And you list some verses there. Maybe on your topic list is, what about the thief on the cross? Everybody keeps bringing up the thief on the cross. How can I answer the thief on the cross? So you list some thoughts, some points, and some verses about the thief on the cross. Well, what about this topic over here? People keep asking these questions, bringing it up. Have it on your note and have some verses that are listed there. And so as you identify your format, you identify what are your topics you need, you identify those verses that will help you the most. When you do this, you need to keep all of this manageable. If you're using a note on your phone, it needs to be in a manageable way so that you can find it quickly, so that you can find it easily. You're not looking, this is like shorthand. You're not looking for a full Dave Miller or Eric Lyons article to put into your note and for it to be a million pages long. You're looking for something that you can handle, that's manageable to you. And so it's got to fit what you know, and it's got to be manageable to you and for the person that you share it with. And this next point is similar to it. You got to keep it simple. You got to keep it simple. Here's something that might happen. Cool. Here's something that may happen. Somebody may text you a question. They may text you a question. They may email you a question and say, hey, you know, I've been thinking, and what about this? And they ask you a Bible question. It could be that you could go to your note and just do a copy paste. Not necessarily everything, but just do a copy paste and say, how about these verses? How about you look and see what do these texts say? So when you make your notes, try to keep it simple. So it's simple for you to remember. So simple for you to follow. And if it were to be something that you share with somebody else, it would be simple for them to grab a hold of. And so it's not something that's going to be too overwhelming for them, and it doesn't need to be too overwhelming for you either. And so that's why this last point is on here, that when you make your ready-to-answer card, keep it yours. Keep it yours. Don't put something on there that you're going to answer to somebody that you don't understand. I've been there and done that. Somebody asked a Bible question. I was like, well, I don't know if I know the answer to that. And so I started looking some stuff up and came up with an answer, and I shared it with them. But I didn't really know what I was saying. It's just like, well, this sounds, you know, this is the answer, but I don't really understand it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. You've got to make sure you understand what you're saying. Because what's bound to happen when you give an answer? They might come back with another question. And if you didn't understand the first part of your answer, you're really going to have a hard time understanding the second part of your answer that you didn't even understand the first time. Keep it yours, but make sure that your faith is your faith. Don't give them John Hurt's answers. Don't give them Paul Sain's answers. Don't give them Apologetics Press answers. Give them God's answers that you have thought through, that you have reasoned through, and that you are now ready to take in a reasonable manner and to share with these individuals so that they might have an opportunity to come to know the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. There were four cards that were coming around, and I don't know if everybody got one of every one of the four cards. Some people got three. I don't know, guys, where you ended up with your extra cards, or did you pass them all out? You put them in the back? Harrison, can you take those cards and take these cards and stick them in the back? If somebody missed a card, then you can pick it up. You can pick it up on the way out. But God calls upon us to always be ready. And that's not just something. Always being ready doesn't mean that you have the preacher on speed dial. That's not you always. There's nothing wrong with the preacher being on speed dial. There's nothing wrong with texting the elder and say, hey, what about this? Nothing. That's the whole point, is we're trying to learn and we're trying to give a Bible response. And so we want to share with others. And so if we don't know, sometimes we have to, there's no shame in asking a question if you don't know what it is. But God didn't say, give them the answer that the preacher tells you to give them. God says we need to be able to be ready to give a response from His Word to those who ask us a Bible question. That conversation when I was 13 or 14 years of age challenged me. And when I heard that older teen talking about some Bible topic and taking verses and reasoning through them in ways that, sure, I had heard older preachers do, but here was somebody that was only 4 years my senior. And he was doing it in a way that I thought, that's what I want to be able to do. And I want to challenge all of you, but young people especially, set your sights on defending your faith, not being ashamed of it. Saying when somebody asks me a question, I want to be able and ready to give them. It doesn't mean that you have to have everything memorized. That's why some of you have written those notes in the back of your Bible. That's why some of you have these very cards stuck in your Bible. That's why some of you have various notes written in the margin of your Bible. And that's what we need, are those reminders as to what the Bible says. You don't have to have a memory that remembers every single thing, but if we have those notes, but especially one place where we have those answers that we know will most frequently be asked of us, so that we can truly do what God wants us to do. You know, sometimes people ask the question, and they did in the New Testament, what do I need to do to be saved? And God doesn't want us to give our opinion to any question that somebody ever asks us. And when they're asking a Bible question, we don't need to give them our opinion. We need to give them a book, chapter, and verse answer. And so God has given us His answer about salvation. And God's answer about our salvation is that God has said we've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God if we want to be saved. And that faith, if it's a true faith, will cause us to look at the sin that we have committed and say, I don't want to sin anymore. That sin put my Savior on the cross. I want to get sin. I want to turn away from sin and turn my life in the direction of God, which will cause me to say, I want to confess the faith that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and to obey what God says to do by being baptized into Christ. So that at that very moment, Romans 6 verse 3 says, I'm buried into His death. I'm baptized into His death. Why is that important? because Jesus shed His blood in His death. And it's His blood that washes away our sins. You might in your Bible. Romans 6 and verse 3, baptized into His death. You want notes, you want things to help us remember. Romans 6 verse 3, baptized into His death. Why is that important? Because John 19 verse 34 says, in His death out came blood and water. Why is that important? Because Revelation 1 and verse 5 says, it's His blood that washes away our sins. How do I come in contact with the saving power of the blood of Jesus? I've got to be baptized into Christ, into His death. So that at that moment, He can save me from my sins, add me to His church, and write my name in heaven. And then because I want to. Do I have to? Yeah, I have to. But because I want to, I get into God's Word, and I write His Word upon my heart, and I look for opportunities to serve Him, and I do it faithfully for the rest of my life. Where are you in your relationship with the Lord tonight? Do you need to make your life right with Him? Is there sin standing in the way? Do you need to be baptized tonight? If as a Christian, have you walked away from where you need to be in serving Him? If this church can help you tonight, we encourage you to respond to the invitation right now as together we stand and sing.